Blog Talk Radio.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
And that's really what a toxic person is someone who's not yet healed from whatever thing that they've been struggling with.
But a lot of times we see something that we don't like and we unknow it. And we just put it to the back of our head and think that things will get better or, that make excuses for it.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from SharonSaylor.com, as well as the host here from LifeInterruptedRadio.com. As always, it's my pleasure to be with you here today. I'm curled up here with a great ginger chamomile tea. I've got a bit of the snuffles. I've been flying around doing trainings, just got in from Cleveland last night. So apologize if I sound a little hoarse or rough around the edges. I've got 2 great interviews. Both I had to pre-record because of all of our schedules. You know, sometimes schedules just don't match. But I'm so looking forward to you hearing these 2 amazing individuals on the subject of toxic people, toxic relationships. I like toxic relationships better than toxic people, but that word people is the one that's thrown out a lot because I always say manage the behavior, not the person. When we try to manage a person, you'll get a lot of resistance. But when you manage the behavior, change can come, not always quickly, but change can come. Today we're going to be talking a lot about managing our own behaviors and so we don't get into those toxic relationships. Now, this may not relate to you. Perhaps you've been lucky enough to have fantastic relationships your whole life. But I'm sure you know somebody who I like to say has the same man, same woman, different body syndrome. You know what I mean. The kind of person who brings home the same personality time and time again. Maybe it's a different person, just a different face. But you're going, oh my gosh, they're trapped in that cycle going round and round again. Well, today, Stephen Scoggins and Jordan Corlett are the people to listen to. They've got some expert advice. First up is Stephen Scoggins. He's from The Journey Principles. And then we'll hear from Jordan Corlett. She's from Boundaries of Love. And in my book, Mindfulness in Action, I talk a lot about sometimes you got to take ownership of your stuff. You got to work through your stuff. It's not always about the other person. It may feel, especially in like a toxic relationship, you can point and say, them. But we're going to talk to our guest tonight about this idea of toxic relationships. Let's take a little bit of different tack on it and talk about, so a lot of times it is them, and a lot of times it can be us, and sometimes it's a combination of both of us. It creates sort of a toxic soup out there for us. My guest tonight is Stephen Scoggins. And I'm so excited to have him here. He's just such an inspiration. And he's actually what I call a living example of perseverance, drive, and determination. Today, he's the founder and CEO of a million-dollar company. And he started it while sleeping out of his car. That's a true life interruption for sure. Now, Stephen travels the country and is nationally recognized through the John Maxwell Leadership Program. He teaches from his heart. It's just, you're going to love it, as well as from his own real life experiences. He's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and life coach, and also the author of the top-selling book, The Journey Principles, 10 Simple Principles for a Life Journey That Matters, really changing readers' lives through his own personal and transformational stories and life lessons. So welcome to Life Interrupted tonight, Stephen.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm a little jealous you have the tea. I don't.
Well, anybody that listens to the show very often knows that I always start with a cup of tea. I just find it helpful to curl up with a cup of tea to get myself ready for
my podcast. I so love exploring life and, well, as you say, journeys, these journey
the
principles, exploring life with my guests, because we all have life interruptions. And when mm-hmm. you and I were introduced, which I just love, by the way, if anybody wants to be a guest on the show, just drop me a quick note at www.lifeinterruptedradio.com. Because that's how I met Stephen. We were introduced to a mutual friend, and they said,
"Yeah,
you've got
it." I think you and I are on the same podcast within a week of each other.
Absolutely, and I think that's how it works. It's amazing how it works, and you meet fascinating people. And once Stephen and I talked, we got a chance to really come up with a topic that I think, well, we actually both went, yeah, that's the topic. It affects so many people in not just big ways, not we're going to be talking a little bit about the big ways. I mean, obviously, like verbal abuse and things like that, be even more insidious than that. So why don't you give us your own little story, Stephen, about your life interruption, and then we'll get down to some of the great principles that you share about how to overcome toxic relationships.
Oh, my goodness. Where to start? That's always the tricky one. I've had so many life interruptions, it's not even funny. So much so that they maybe write a book about it. you know, I've been passionate for some time now about helping people understand themselves and getting themselves out of areas that are causing them harm. And that passion actually came from my own personal pain, my own personal agony of sorts. So we talk in the Journey Principles back. We have one of the chapters is called Addiction versus Sanctification. And what we do is we kind of dig into the thought process of once an addict, always an addict. But we mm-hmm. also dig into what are you actually addicted to? You know, a lot of things that a lot of folks think it's typically drugs, it's alcohol, it's smoking, it's overeating. But really addictions are defined by what you give all your energy and your effort to that's actually detracting from your life. It's not any adding any value. And yeah. for me, for the longest time, it was always toxic relationships. For some reason, I was drawn back to them and drawn back to them and drawn back to them that I finally had to figure out why. So, you know, it's really kind of how we kind of got started on that piece and had to become aware of what a toxic person was like. You know.
Yes. Now, I want to point out that sometimes, not always, because sometimes toxic person, but sometimes it can just be the combination between ourselves and the other person. And mm-hmm. so when we're talking about toxic relationships, they don't always come with a sign on their head that says toxic.
In fact, most of the time they come looking pretty and nice and all this kind of stuff. So, oh, man. Yeah, you know, toxic relationships for me were always like an Achilles heel. I always found myself inside of them. But then I realized something. The more toxic I was, the more I attracted toxicity. So where I grew up in an environment where my self-esteem was not really brought to the forefront, I didn't know any better myself. In areas of control, anxiety, depression, things of that nature, we end up settling for the thing that we can attract. Mm. For whatever reason, there's an old slogan that says, hurt people, hurt people. I got a good friend of mine named Chris McCurdy that said that for the first time. It got me thinking, what causes somebody to be toxic? And typically what I find most often than not is the simple fact that they are actually hurting people who literally don't know any other way because they've been doing it so long that they've never made the decision themselves to become aware and understand and actually seek healing.
And I also want to point out that that may have been their family dynamic or the culture they grew up in. So they may not even know there's a different way, which is really, really sad that I find that true, too. It's like, well, my dad did this. My family's always done this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I finally kind of came up with three main things that I try to use to develop toxic people. And I say that loosely because the way I look at someone who's toxic is, it's not like I look at them like, you're toxic, you're evil, I'm staying away from you forever. There are some folks that struggle so bad that it's going to take a rude awakening to get them to turn and kind of come the other way. But there's others that are just hurt people and they don't know any better because they do have those influences. You know, they do, their parental influences, their environmental influences, relationships, all these things play a part in that toxicity. But one of the ways that I use to kind of identify those people specifically is actually by listening to how they talk. I listen mm-hmm. for detraction versus uplifting. You know, a true friend is going to spend time empowering you, encouraging you, a lot more than snide remarks. Hey, you know, you don't look so good today. You know, there's it's the unhealthy approach to speaking. You know, speaking life is so important, and becoming part of that is very, very important. Step number two, typically that I'll typically do is I actually pay attention to their actions. So I spend a lot of time watching, and this is, and I'm not sitting in a corner just watching actions. What I'm doing is I'm taking my time trying to evaluate, is this person safe? Because the way I look at safety is it typically happens in four key areas in life. And when I'm coaching husbands and life coaching businesses and stuff like that, to me the four areas of safety really come from all aspects of life, business, relationships, friendships, all this kind of stuff. So my filter that I run that stuff through is the physical. Do I feel physically safe with this person? Do I feel emotionally safe with this person? Do I feel spiritually safe with this person? Do I feel financially safe with this person? And the reason is because it's a balance. You have a doc, you have these, my father for a long, long time spent a lot of time focusing heavily on the financial after I got to know him because he missed the first part of my life. But the flip side of that, well, he and my mother were my first entrance into toxic relationships. And for the longest time, I could not understand why they left, why they weren't there. So what that began to do is that began to take a toll on my personal self-esteem. So when it came time to actually stand up for what was right for my inner self, I did not do that. And then after a while, my relationships became increasingly more toxic, almost to the point where I almost hit somebody one time, a girlfriend I had at my time after she'd been cheating on me and all kinds of stuff. And for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, we'll let those people do that over and over again, and we feel like we have to justify it. Like, oh, they're such and such, this and that. They're detracting from life. They're not speaking real life, real hope. They're not really putting forth a real effort towards your mission in life. Does that make sense?
Right, absolutely. And you can understand that toxic people don't always have to be physically abusive or cheating or stealing or any of those sorts of things, but also a part of this toxic is that internal turmoil, that internal craziness of questioning your own sanity at times is a huge component where we're saying, if I just, we'll say crazy things to ourselves like, well, if I just love them a little bit more, or if I just get a little bit thinner. Those crazy things are also very, very toxic.
Yeah, I mean, we're spending all our time basing our self-worth on whether or not they like us or not, or whether or not they lean our way or not. And there's no health in that. There's no health whatsoever in that. Because your self-value should be based on your how you perceive the world. And for me, it's my faith and my God and all that kind of stuff. That's where my tether lies. But for every, you know, it's not in the person who is faulty by nature. Us human beings as nature, we do wrong things from time to time. We say stupid stuff from time to time. There's no real safety in finding your self-value in another person, but there is safety in finding self-value in yourself and growing and maturing yourself to an extent that you can be a blessing to somebody else.
And I think that's difficult, though, for people when they haven't had that mentored to them or reflected back in their family life or their culture. Maybe it's always been the negative of unworthiness to... Mm-hmm. They might know that, okay, yeah, walking around, I do feel unworthy and I'm doing these. What I like to say to some of my female friends that I know is like sort of same man, different body. But we walk around pulling these people into us that are identical. They're not the same person, obviously, but they're the identical in so many ways. What are some tips that you have for people if they got that inkling that, like, gosh, you know, unworthiness really is probably one of my issues here? You know, it's really, that's the first step is proclaiming it. But gosh, man, if you've never seen it, sometimes it's really difficult to know what's the next step. How do I become, where do I get, sort of like going shopping, where do I get self-esteem?
Right. Is it on aisle 4 or 5? Is it next to lingerie or is it next to toys?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness! You know, it's funny that you bring that up because that's actually why I wrote the Journey Principles book. I felt like that if I could bring awareness to the things, the the principles that I now live my life by and also the principles that I used to live my life by, I could bring awareness between the contrast between the two. I'll give you an example. Our first chapter is called Understanding Conflicts. And I talk in there about something called givers and takers. I believe that any person at any given time can be a giver or they can be a taker. It's choosing to give or take on a day in and day out basis that really determines where you kind of go. The problem with the giver is they keep giving, and if they're matched up, and eventually it's so exhausting that the giver basically gives out. And I saw this the most. I first saw this, believe it or not in a romantic relationship, although that was where a lot of my trouble lied, but in my relationship with my mother, who left early on in life because of where she honestly she needed to heal. It ended up being a blessing in disguise, but I didn't realize, but my grandmother, who I thought was a rock star, from the day I was born, she raised me all the way until she passed away when I was 9 and went to meet with my dad at about 11. But when she passed away, a lot of other things came to light. My grandmother to me was like she was rock solid. Like if I had this thing where my emotional state was in turmoil, she would you know, empower me and encourage me. If I needed to learn a lesson, she would mentor me and teach me. By all intents and purposes, my mother. What I didn't find out till later is that my grandmother was a horrible mother to my mother.
Mm.
So imagine what that did to my mom. Here she is. She's watching her mother, the grandchildren, with love, concern, compassion, dedication, influence, and yet she never experienced any of those things from her own mother.
Oh, it must be devastating.
It was horrible. Just the last 2 years, ironically, she actually picked up the book and read through the book herself and actually started her journey back to healing finally. And I'm in awe and I'm so blessed that she is on that journey now because now she's becoming healthier, which is fantastic. She lived for, 50 plus years with this inner hurt, this inner wound that never would go away. It's no wonder she got into several relationships of her own that were toxic and abusive and things of that nature because her self-value was shot. Her influence had taught her over and over again, I'm not worth anything because my own mother doesn't love me or this, that, or the other thing, not realizing that her mother, my grandmother, was actually a hurt individual herself. And when I came about, I was the second chance that my grandmother had always wanted.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Stephen, this is fascinating. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break here. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Stephen about this idea of the inner hurt, the inner wound, how you can create your own second chances. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm Sharon Saylor, your host for Life Interrupted Radio. Find out more about previous podcasts and other interesting life interruptions, like we're talking right now with Stephen Scoggins about toxic relationships, over at www.lifeinterruptedradio.com. You can always drop me a note there and be a guest or be a sponsor. I'd love to hear from you, even if you just have a favorite tea. We're currently talking with Stephen Scoggins
author of The Journey Principles, 10 Simple Principles for a Life Journey That Matters. You can find out more about his book and his work over at Journey Principles, that's plural, journeyprinciples.com. And welcome back, Stephen. Before the commercial break, we were just ending up with this idea of unworthiness, inner hurt, inner wounds, and how it can take a long time to really even just be aware of them. We create this repeating pattern in our lives that can feel like Groundhog Day in a way, and yet leaves us wondering and confused and going like, what's wrong with me?
That's right. I figured out the, you know, in that story with my grandmother, my mother, I figured out that the secret is in the question we ask ourselves. You see, the human brain is such that if you ask it a question, it has to answer the question. It can't not answer the question. Even if it's, I don't know, it still must answer the question. You can't ask your mind anything and have a blank thought. In that respect, it's kind of like a computer. You're typing in a command prompt and you're trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to get back?
Well, my goodness, I hope it's better than Siri, though. I'll tell you, I just learned how to use that. Sometimes I get back the craziest answers. So how do we program it to give us a good answer or a great answer or an answer that will propel us forward?
Yeah, and that was, you know, exactly. That was my third point in understanding the toxicness. You have to learn to ask yourself better questions. You have to get out of the why me kind of thought process and what can I learn? What were my influences? Here's one that revolutionized my brain when it came to my mother and my grandmother's relationship. Who taught my grandmother to be a mother? Who taught my mother to be a mother? How is it that I can expect my mother to be this awesomeness of a mother when she herself grew up in toxicity and abuse and self-loathing and low self-esteem? And how could I expect her to be anything more at that moment than what she was at that moment?
Well, that's wonderful. It reminds me of the question from Nonviolent Communication, sort of a statement as we ask ourselves that question, who taught my or who taught this or that? I love that because I was taught a long time ago that when we begin to think of those things, my response to that part of me or the wounded part of me is always with compassion from, no wonder they responded that way. No wonder. Mm-hmm. Begin to sort of take apart the wounding of what really happened. And it doesn't nullify what happened in any sense of the way, but it helps you begin to understand the components of what happened and why it happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I learned to start seeing my mother and my father and those that hurt me along the way, not as full-grown adults that knew, that actually had complete awareness of what they had. You know, there's an old adage, forgive them for they know not what they do. That was kind of where my parents were. And seeing some of the relationships I was in that were so toxic. And here's the thing. I got to where I would train my mind that just before I would go see them, I would envision a child in my mind. And that child had a scraped knee and a bruised elbow and had tears running down his face, but in a quiet kind of way, in a very subtle kind of way, in a very kind of emotional kind of way. And I learned that image in my mind of my parents being so wounded and so influenced by their own circumstances and whatnot in their life led me to offer them compassion, which also led me to forgiveness. And once I was able to forgive them, I was also able to forgive myself and others around me.
And let's talk a little bit about forgiveness, because I know oftentimes people will say, I could never forgive him or her, yet they don't understand the idea that forgiveness is really for ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not accepting the evil thing or terrible thing that happened. It's about ourselves. So let's talk a little bit about this idea of forgiveness and compassion, because I think too often people get their feet in cement saying, I'm never forgiving. But long time ago, I heard a quote, and I wish I could remember the person who wrote it, but he said, holding on to these sort of bad things that happened to us is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die.
Exactly.
And I was like, that makes really good sense. You know, I'm like, sometimes people go on with their lives not even realizing they've hurt you in any way. That's
absolutely
just how they are.
I've always viewed forgiveness, compassion as a grenade. It's kind of like your poison analogy, for example. If you pull the pin of an uncreaked grenade and pop the lever, the person holding on to it the longest and the darkest is who's going to explode. It's not the person who's running for cover who's typically the person that caused the injury to begin with. But when you can take that pin back, which is compassion, and put it back in the grenade, you can finally set the grenade down. And you can move straight forward.
Yeah, it's so true. Do you have some tips about forgiveness? Because I think, like I said, oftentimes people get stuck in the idea of, that was so awful, so heinous, whatever you want to put onto it, that I could never forgive them. Yet, oftentimes we see amazing examples of forgiveness, so we know it's humanly possible.
Oh, absolutely. I think my most beneficial thing that I did, it's a threefold process. The first part was actually journaling. The second part was actually being honest in the journaling. And then the third part was rewriting the same information again. And I'll tell you why. I found that what happens with your mind is the longer toxicity stays in there, the longer those images, those thoughts, that anger, that bitterness, that resentment stays in there, it stays locked away, all it does is recycle. The moment you can actually get it out of yourself on paper, it's no longer kind of captured in a safe vault, if you will, in your brain. Instead, it's on paper. And then what happens is you can take that same information and write that. I wrote the same letter to my parents four separate times. The first letter was hurt. It was angry. It was bitter. The second letter was hurt, angry, bitter. The third letter was, wow, where did this influence come from? They weren't born like this. What happened? And the fourth letter was all compassion, in which I actually was able to let it go. I took the other three letters and I actually put them in a tin can and I set them on fire, never to think about them again. So when I see them, I see them with love. I see them with compassion. And what I found more interesting than not is when I began to treat them with love, compassion, and forgiveness, they became love, compassion, and forgiveness.
Isn't that amazing? And I want to share about a journaling technique that I use. And I'm a big fan of what you're talking about, and in continuing to write that until it reframes itself. One of the things I do in my journal is the next step. A dear, dear mentor of mine taught me this years ago, was always to write on the right-hand side of my journal, just so it was progressive and everything, and always leave the left-hand page open. And then when I was ready, he had a set period of time, but sometimes I'm not ready. So I always say, when you're ready, go back and reread what you wrote. And then on the left-hand page, make notes of what changed. What's
right.
changed now? How am I feeling different? I love that old quote of this too shall pass. And oftentimes we can see both the toxic, the bad, and the good has all changed. And that's when you begin to see patterns of, oh, my goodness, what part did I play, if any?
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. We actually have a chapter, the last chapter in the book is called This Too Shall Pass and What Comes Next is Greater. Here's the cool thing. I realized that one of the things that happened to me specifically, although I had parents that were gone and things of that nature, I always had a surrogate person who had the ability to empower and encourage me. And if I didn't have that person, I did not feel as well. So then I learned behavior to actually find those people. You're going to Keith Kraft, he's a pastor and speaker down in Texas. He says, if you show me your five friends, I'll show you your future.
Yes.
So who you want to become is already wrapped up in who you associate yourself with. So if you've been stuck, if you've been fighting these relationships, if you've been in fear and depression and lack of forgiveness and bitterness and resentment, then get around somebody who's already worked through it. Get around somebody who can give you light, who can bring light, share light with you. Get around someone who's going to inspire you to want to face the dark, and who also will probably come alongside of you to help you with that process. Because it is scary, but it's so far worth it. It's not even funny. To get to the other side of forgiveness and get rid of bitterness, it's going to allow you to open yourself up to relationships that actually are fulfilling and ones that can mean something, and therefore you actually have a life worth living because you're spending time inspiring and empowering others over what you've learned.
Absolutely. I want to make a point. Sometimes it's just maybe one person in our life or two people in our life, and maybe we do have a couple of friends that are really good friends that tell us the truth, and we've been able to, for whatever reason, have really strong relationships. And I say, listen to those people. Quick story was, I have very dear, trusted friends in my life, and then I met this new person, started just having dinner with them about once a week and just enjoying intellectual debate, things like that. But unbeknownst to me, it was very stealthy until it was pointed out to me about 2 months later, that this person was hypercritical of everything. The waiter could never, do it right. The food was never right. And I didn't really pay attention to it because I enjoyed our intellectual debates until one day a dear, dear friend of mine who's just known for what I'll call her truth-telling with me, she goes, "You know, Sharon, I've noticed the past couple of months you've just gotten hypercritical, and I don't understand it, and I don't really like it." And I thought, whoa, okay. And that sort of knocked me on my heels, but it caused me to reflect, where is this coming from? Because that isn't what I'll say how I normally am.
Right.
And so they can kind of, these relationships don't have to be familial. They can kind of just sneak in on you.
That's right. It's the power of influence. Who you open yourself up to is who has, like when I'm coaching someone, for example, I don't try to share anything that can help them or get them started really in a direction until they've given me approval to speak in their life. Who we're hanging out with, like this friend you're talking about, you gave them permission at least for a short amount of time to speak into your life, and then we start having those learned behaviors. But that's a perfect example of, to me, when I say when I'm trying to evaluate someone and where they're coming from toxicity-wise, I'm listening to how critical they are of people. I'm listening how critical they are of me. I'm listening for those things that are telltale signs of someone who's not yet healed. And that's really what a toxic person is someone who's not yet healed from whatever thing that they've been struggling with. I don't think that we're ever born innately evil or arrogant or prideful per se. I think over time, after enough things have been given to us and taken away and moving forward and backwards to the left and to the right, we kind of go into like a survival mode almost, not some kind of random thought process that doesn't really lead us anywhere. It's the essence of the influence that really makes a difference in our lives. And if we can remove that toxicity, the influence becomes positive, just like in your example.
Oh my goodness, yes, it's all about removing that toxicity. We're just about out of time, Stephen, but let's give a couple of tips on how to remove that toxicity, and then be sure and share with the audience more about your book and how to get your book and how to connect up with you.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll give you one short story. So this is a true story. My business that I've built now, the one I started while sleeping in a car, it's that particular business has been a business now for 17 years. I was about 20 years old when it happened. My father tried to talk me out of starting the business because he had failed himself and did not want to see me injured or hurt. I went ahead and told him politely, "Dad, I love you. You're important to me. But honestly, I'm feeling called to do this. I'm going to go do this." It was about 6 years ago when the business first broke its $20 million mark that he came to me and he said, "You know, I'm sorry and I was wrong." There will be times when you're going to have to lovingly say, "I'm sorry, you're not ready for this part of the journey." And if you are, later on, then you reevaluate. I mean, I had to remove people recently from my inner circle and replace them with healthier people. Because I found if I didn't do that, then what happened would be I would spend all of my time focusing on trying to fix random events that were happening. I spent all my time putting out fires. So what I recommend more than anything else for me is that you have a very frank conversation. "I'm sorry. And this is a time that I need to kind of reflect and kind of get myself together. I hope you can understand that." And honestly, if there's a strong hope in a relationship, they'll let that happen. They really will. Mm-hmm. Toxicity is not easy to overcome. It takes hours, weeks, days of just looking at yourself, evaluating how you let people in and out of your life, what boundaries you put them in. Talk about lying, cheating, stealing, all that kind of stuff. Those are very easy boundaries. You do this, you're not healthy for me. And it's okay to tell someone, "Hey, you're not healthy for me." It's okay. It's okay. Tell them to go heal up. Get yourself together, and you might find that you're being strong enough to go do that on your own will actually inspire them to go do the same thing. You can be an inspiration to somebody. You can empower somebody just by taking a healthy stance for yourself. In my opinion, too.
I'm putting that out there. I've done it myself and found it useful, and I've seen other people do it in my coaching practice, and it is amazing when you take a stand for yourself, take a stand for your wellness, and what I'll even put in quotes, your sanity.
amazing things can happen.
Amen to that. I'm really excited you guys had me on today. It's been awesome. I love sharing. I love brainstorming. You talk about the intellectual connection. I love doing it myself. So.
Well, share with the audience how to your website and how to get your book, The Journey Principles, The 10 Simple Principles for a Life Journey That Matters.
Yeah, and I'd be glad to. The quickest way right now is actually go to stephenscoggins.com. But if you can go to stephenscoggins.com to learn more about what we're doing with The Journey Principles as a whole. The book is actually available at pretty much any online store, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. We're recording the audio book now, but it is available in paperback and ebook format. But I encourage anybody that's even interested. One, I want to say thank you that you're interested. It will bless you, in my opinion, and I hope it does. Hope you feel the same way. But secondly, on top of that, feel free to read the reviews, because I think that'll help give you a better determination on what other people are getting from the book. I didn't try to write a book to serve myself. Try to write something from real life experience with real practical things based on my real life hurts and my real life healing. I hope for someone out there it's going to inspire you to do the same thing, because I believe if you heal, you can heal others, and you can start that whole version of Facebook of likes and shares with healing as its core.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, healing. Healing is always the core, and it is a journey. So thank you, Stephen, for being on Life Interrupted Radio today and sharing your personal journey and some of the steps that out there the listener can take as they begin to reflect on, is this a toxic relationship or not? And I have to say, if you're asking yourself that question, it most likely is.
Right?
I'm thinking about my relationships I know that are not toxic. That's never ever entered my mind. So I'm thinking maybe if you have to ask yourself that question, you might want to step back and reflect a little bit deeper.
That's right. So
everyone, we'll be right back after this commercial break, and stay tuned.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. Now I have an amazing guest I wanted to share with you. We had to pre-record this, but her name is Jordan Corlett, and here's her story. Now, if you've been following my work for any time, you guys know that I rant on strong boundaries a lot. I know, sometimes too much. But when I met Jordan, she has such a compelling story of why boundaries are important, and that boundaries are not about being punitive or anything like that. This is all about boundaries that focus on empowering you and empowering your relationships. So Jordan, she's the founder of Boundaries of Love, and she focuses on empowering young adults and educating them about the warning signs of toxic relationships and how to avoid them, as well as not only avoid them, but if you recognize yourself in Jordan's story in a moment. She's going to share with us some tips also, not just on avoiding them, but if you're like, uh-oh, that sounds so familiar, maybe that's where I am right now, she's going to share some great tips on what to do if you're already there as well. So welcome, Jordan. Thank you for being my guest today on Life Interrupted Radio. Jordan, I know
you reached out to Life Interrupted Radio with your story, and it was compelling. Candace, my producer, shared it with me, and I could so relate. I hear this with young women all the time. I know I'm definitely of a different generation, but we had the same sorts of toxic relationships as I grew up. And actually, even now, I work with even older women, and they come up against these problems of boundaries and toxic relationships as well. Share with us a little bit, as we got to know each other, as I say, you just seem like the average normal gal so, to end up in such a situation. So share with us just a little bit of your story.
So when I was 18 years old, I fell in love with my best friend from high school. And we had an amazing summer. We spent all of our free time at the beach and going to concerts and just enjoying each other's company, and we had a blast. And then at the end of summer, I had to go back up to Northern California for my second year of college. And that's when everything changed. My parents were terrified that he was going to follow me up there and live with me on their dime. They didn't want that to happen. And they saw something in him that I didn't see, because I felt like I knew him better than they did. And they didn't like him because he drove recklessly and he was always kicked out of his house and he refused to keep a job. And so they didn't want him following me up there. So 2 weeks after I left, he shows up on a surprise visit with a one-way ticket. And my parents were furious. And so they threatened to come drag him home if he didn't leave. So he left. But when he was there, all we were doing was fighting. And I couldn't understand why. And then when he left, it got worse. And he only had terrible things to say. He hated my friends, so I wasn't allowed to see them anymore. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere besides school and come back. And I had to Skype him day and night to prove I was following his rules. I kept making excuses for his actions because I didn't want to lose what we had once had over summer. So I thought it was just the distance and maybe things would get better, but they just got worse. And soon he was doing terrible things to me and my family. He told me I needed to work out every day because I wasn't skinny enough. And he threatened to kill me if I cheated on him. He pushed me down the stairs. All of a sudden, I was trapped in this abusive relationship that I didn't even know how I got there. And I didn't know what to do. I hit rock bottom. It was 2 a.m. I was crying on my bedroom floor after another fight. And I saw my bottle of Prozac. I just took them all. It was 39 pills. My roommate found me and rushed me to the hospital. And the doctors told me that 520 milligrams of that can be fatal. And I took 780. So I'm lucky to be here today. At a young age, I was not taught what the warning signs were of a toxic relationship, and I wasn't equipped with the tools I needed to protect myself from that. So I had these experiences for a reason. And so now I take what I've learned to teach young women how to protect themselves and empower themselves so that they can create loving and healthy relationships in all aspects of their lives. That's why I created Boundaries of Love, teen empowerment groups, high schools, colleges. I also offer my own workshops for parents and teens to help bridge the gap of communication between parents and teens. And we do activities, we bring in speakers, and try to make it a fun learning experience so they can learn how to create healthy relationships. I also offer a one-year program where we'll work together and delve deeper into what a toxic relationship looks like, really just keep them empowered to protect themselves.
Oh, yes. You said a few things that just brought back to mind not only my experiences, and this isn't, folks, this isn't just about young love. In your experience, obviously, it was, but I hear this from people, not just women. This can be an issue, both genders can be involved. It's truly more common with women, but it can be both genders. And one of the things that you said that struck me as I was like, oh my goodness, I've heard that so often and I can raise my hand, been there, done that. And that's this idea of not listening to your friends, assuming that you know better. And oh my gosh, they just don't understand him. They just don't know him like I know him. If they knew his heart, they would really know. And I have to tell you, as you probably learned, share with your audience too, you know, folks, if your friends are telling you something, they see something that you're blinded to. And
some that blinding can come from many different reasons, and we don't need to really get into those too deeply. But one of my big strong things is listen to your friends. You know, it's not about them just hating every guy you bring home, unless you have what I call the same man, different body syndrome. Which I've seen happen with some friends of mine too, where they get rid of one toxic relationship, and my goodness, then, so we'll just use the word, so Sam's out the door, but Fred's just the same. You're like completely interchangeable except for the face. So what are some of the tips that you share? Because, you know, boundaries, I know sometimes people think like, oh, if I set a boundary, I'm being selfish, I'm not being loving, I should just give a little bit more. I mean, we come up with so many justifications. So what are some tips you share to set boundaries?
Well, there's a few. I have three things that I usually leave my audience to take away from that they can put into action right away. The first one is warning signs. I explain the warning signs, some of them, extreme jealousy, hypercriticism, it's your fault, not mine, kind of an attitude. You need to be able to know what the warning signs are so that you can stop it from moving to a place that's potentially dangerous. And then the second one is opinions. Just like you said, you need to listen to your family and friends, because when you're in a situation that's unhealthy for you, oftentimes you can't see it because you're so close to it. But the people who really have your best interest at heart, like your parents and your friends, your siblings, they can see it from an objective point of view. So you really need to understand and listen to what they have to say. And the third one is respect. When you allow someone to disrespect you, that starts chipping away at your self-love and your self-respect. And true love does not devalue another human being. So you need to be aware of that. And once you feel disrespected, then you need to take a step back and really think about what's going on. So the boundaries of how you speak to each other, texting and social media, like oftentimes, relationships that, especially right now, social media is so big, people think it's okay to read each other's messages and stuff, when really that's a control thing. That's manipulative, and not allowing someone to do that is really a healthy way to trust each other, trust and communication. Those are the biggest things in having a healthy relationship. So you need to be able to not allow someone to invade your privacy like that.
Well, I find, too, that oftentimes it's not just an invasion of the privacy and reading the text messages and things. That's part of it. But it's a larger invasion of your life, shall I say. Telling you what you can wear and can't wear, where you can go and where you can't go. And it's all based on, not from love and not just that those pants make you look fat. It's really a deeper, more controlling thing that makes, and a lot of times we're having to rationalize it in our own mind to make it make sense. When you first hear it, somebody being that critical or that opinionated, that controlling, it strikes you as odd, but you're in love and you're like, well, maybe, you begin to rationalize, well, maybe they do know something I don't know, or gosh, they really love me, so they wouldn't be like trying to harm me. That's when our definition of love, it gets kind of warped. And we begin to put ourselves at a different level than this person that we love. So, but what happens if we're saying like, oh my gosh, Jordan, I can so relate to your story. I'm in there now. What are some things that you suggest people do? I know sometimes, as you mentioned, not only life-threatening from your trying to take your own life, but oftentimes the other person can be threatening your life as well. What are some tips that you recommend people to begin to set these boundaries and reestablish who they are? And I know safety, you know, maintaining your personal safety is a big one there. So how can we begin to do that?
Well, I mean, it's hard. It's definitely hard. In the beginning, it's a lot easier to, if you're beginning a relationship with someone, to sit down and talk about, you know, what's important to you and what you expect out of the relationship and what is not okay with you, so that you can establish that. So they know where you stand. And if you guys don't match up, then it's a lot easier to just move on.
But yeah, mosey on down the road quick, folks. If any of this is ringing a bell and you're in the first few dates, mosey on down the road quick.
But once it's later in the relationship, it's so much harder. I mean, for me, I tried so many times to break up and end the relationship, and every single time he seemed to manipulate me back in with lies and promises that he would never keep, and I believed him every time. But, you know, you really have to stand your ground. If you are feeling you're in an unsafe relationship, you need to remove yourself, and you can't keep it going and believe them when they say they'll change, or they promise they'll do something different, and they won't say those mean things to you anymore, because they won't. People don't change, and you can't change someone's personality. You guys just won't match up. So you really just have to hold your ground and not put up with that kind of behavior, because it's
absolutely
really dangerous.
And it doesn't get any better. You know, I always say women especially have this weird ability to rationalize and believe that somehow with just a little bit more love and a little bit more attention or a little bit more whatever, I'll be able to save this person. I always say at what expense? Because you're losing yourself and that person isn't being saved. What's happening is you're doing it, what I call the relationship death spiral. It's really difficult, as you say, to extract yourself from those relationships, because sometimes it can be life-threatening. When we begin to set boundaries and have those deeper conversations, hopefully at the beginning of a relationship, what are some of the things that we should be looking for?
Well, there's a lot of different things. The warning signs I explained earlier about hypercriticism and jealousy and possessiveness, trying to get you to follow their rules. A lot of times, isolating you from your friends and your family. They're choosing how you spend money, what clothes you wear, ignoring you when you're in a fight. The communication between a fight when you're arguing is really shows a lot about a person. So if they're criticizing you or ignoring you, that's not a healthy way of communication. And then things get deeper, like physical abuse. It seems so black and white, but it's really not. I mean, there's so many things that are actually physical abuse that I didn't know, like throwing things, breaking things, punching a wall, driving recklessly is even physical abuse. There's just a lot of things that you don't know are actually dangerous for your well-being and your relationship, unless you really like dig in and start learning about it, because it's so, things could happen and you're like, what the? But a lot of times we see something that we don't like and we unknow it and we just put it to the back of our head and think that things will get better, or make excuses for it. But you really can't do that. You can't change people. Women always think you can change people. Me too. That's what I thought I was going to do, but it ended up just hurting me in the long run.
I love your comment about we just try to unknow it. I think a lot of women work really hard on that one, because they just don't want to give up on their idea. Oftentimes we put this overlay that we've met Prince Charming, because I know a lot of these people at the beginning are at some roots narcissism or sociopath. You know, I'm not a counselor psychologist, but those ideas of sweeping you off your feet, and it's the Prince Charming story, and it's just everything is absolutely fantastic. And then once they have you hooked, shall I say, the viral begins. Well, we're just about out of time here on our interview, but I wanted to finish up here with just giving the audience a chance to learn more about your work and how to get a hold of you. And also, any final tips that you can give. I love this idea of, folks, stop your unknowing. If you know it, you know it, right?
Yeah.
Stop that. Stop unknowing. And listen to your friends. And also, I think you touched just really lightly on this idea of worthiness and how we give up our self-worthiness. So just what are some final little ideas that you can share with the audience, especially if they're in this situation and they go, oh, my gosh, I recognize myself here. Then let the audience know how to find out more about you and your work, Boundaries of Love.
A sentence that I really love, it really impacts me, is I said it before, true love does not devalue another human being. It really doesn't. And if you're being devalued, not true love, and it's really not love. You need to be aware of who you are and stay true to yourself. And if something is not making you happy, you really need to remove it and just do what makes you happy and do what's important to you, because you are the most important person in your life. Protect yourself, take care of yourself, and love yourself. My website is www.boundariesoflove.com. There's a contact form there. You can contact me with questions or comments. And I have a Facebook page, facebook.com/boundariesoflove. And I will be posting blogs and events that are coming up. So if you are interested, just keep checking the Facebook and my website, and there will be a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jordan. And I do want to really stress this idea of self-love and our definition of love, because oftentimes we get this weird, warped fairy tale idea of love. So if you're really resonating with the story and saying, oh my gosh, I can see even a little bit of a little hair on my neck, it's not like, oh, I'm not totally relating here. But even if there's just a little bit of a twinge, reach out to Jordan and find out more about Boundaries of Love, because it's critically important. If you're resonating at all, you could be in a situation that is not the most healthy, because true love is what uplifts you. It doesn't keep you down.
Oh my goodness, wasn't that fantastic? Both Stephen and Jordan bring some really great points home for us today about toxic people. It's okay not to have them in your life, and it's okay to set boundaries. As I said, true love lifts you up. It doesn't keep you down. And the one love that you should work on the most is the love of yourself. It's not selfish. It's wise. Because we can't know love unless we love ourselves. It's been my pleasure to be here on Life Interrupted Radio with you tonight. As always, go have a great week, whatever your adventures, and join me here every Friday night, 7 p.m., for more of Life Interrupted Radio.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.